Well, it always pays to have friends in high places when you get attacked by people in very low places. And that's what happened on Friday. We came across, courtesy of a BizNews community member, a fake attempt or a bit of AI that was used to try and part people with their money. And fortunately, a few have already had fallen for the trap. Paul O'Sullivan picked up on it very quickly, and this was after we sent an email to our community to say, watch out for this thing, and he has dug into it. Now, you couldn't have a better person doing this kind of work than Paul. We really appreciate it. Paul, what exactly did you find?
Thanks, Alec. Good morning, and sorry about the background noise. It seems like our rain season arrived in the middle of the night, and we've had rainstorms since about 3 this morning. And it's literally pouring down with rain right now. But anyway, when you brought this to my attention, I decided to go and have a quick look. And what I found was the criminals, and there's no shortage of cyber criminals out there. In fact, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners had reckoned that cybercrime is going to overtake all other crime within the next few years. So if you add all the other crimes together, cybercrime will dwarf that. It will take a lot more effort now by law enforcement authorities to stamp out cybercrime. And unfortunately, here in South Africa, we're seen as a weak spot because the law enforcement agencies are running behind. Now, so I carried out my own investigation. I saw that an outfit based in Reykjavik, or purportedly based in Reykjavik, I say based in Reykjavik, but they're actually not based in Reykjavik. The address they gave is the address in Reykjavik for the Bank of Iceland. And right next door is probably the largest, if not the only, penis museum in the world. And they contracted with a company called Namecheap.com, who are based in Phoenix, Arizona. And they did this on Friday morning, in the early hours of Friday morning. And they opened a website called starryivu.space. Now, .space is a new domain name. It's been running for less than a year, I think. And these people have created a domain there. And immediately after creating the domain, they had a ready-made website to slide straight into it, which they did. And then what they do is they start marketing. They do sublime marketing, and they push it out all over the place on Google, and they pay Google. The American Secret Service is knocking on the door of Google pretty much every other week to find out who's paying them and how they're paying them and so on and so forth. And they advertise, and then people inadvertently click on one of these links, and they'll arrive at a website which looks like either BizNews or, in this case, I think the one that you sent me, it looks like News24, except the layout and everything is the same as News24, but when you scroll down the side, the most read stories, if you click on any of those, nothing happens, which means they're just there to make it look like News24. And the same applies to BizNews, and they put stories there which lure people in. They intended to trap people, to make people think, aha, there's money to be made. And the headline on this particular story is 80,000, and this is probably a giveaway because it says 80,000 ZAR a week. Now, nobody would write that in South Africa. They would write that if they're in another country. So there's no rand symbol. It says, a week without the experience, How 10,000 residents of South Africa have already taken advantage of Helen Sills' project and why the banks are against it. And then you click on it, and lo and behold, you're taken to a place where you have to enter your data, and somebody will phone you to explain to you how you're going to make all this money. Meanwhile, you're not going to make any money at all. You're going to hand over your money. And unfortunately, some people hand over, they start off with 4,500 rand. They choose that amount specifically because it seems to mirror about $250. So these people are not based here in South Africa. They're based in different parts of the world, normally in places like either Eastern Bloc countries, including Malaysia, Thailand, China, Russia, Israel. There's quite a lot of these scams running out of Israel. And South America. And they normally recruit local people because who better to swindle a South African than a South African? So they normally recruit local people to manage the phone call relationship, and off they go. And they trick you into putting in 4,500 rand. They have a fake website they've created, which makes it look like you won, if that's the right expression, because what they're actually selling is derivatives and forward purchasing. And then the next thing you know, you've made so much money, they lure you, they tell you, by the way, you can make more money. If you've got more cash to put it in now, you'll double your money. And people forfeit. And unfortunately, lots of South Africans, by the way, this is not just a South African thing, they're targeting countries all over the world. And the modus operandi constantly changes because they realize, well, hang on a minute, this one is old hat now. People have got used to this one. We'll come up with a new scheme, a new promise about how you're going to make money. And what I say is, if you click on something online and you get somewhere that looks genuine and looks real, look at the URL at the top and see if it doesn't say News 24 or Biz News, then it's not News 24 or Biz News. And in this case, it was starryivu.space. And when you see that, just start thinking about these things. If it's too good to be true, ask yourself, is it too good to be true? And if the answer is yes, it's too good to be true, don't go there. Because unfortunately, many South Africans, they've parted with their cash. And some of them, unfortunately, are people that are gambling because they can't afford to pay. It's their life savings they're using, or they're pensioners, and they've got a few thousand in the bank, and they think, okay, well, if I can double my money that quick, I might as well have a bash. And they unfortunately don't understand what they're doing. They put their money in, they sweet-talked, they're pressure selling, and these sales agents don't even aren't able to be contacted by the people that recruit them. So if the sales agents get arrested, they can't point the finger at who put them on. The whole thing is a complete mess, and it's very, very hard to investigate. In this particular case, I've drafted an email which I'm about to send to Namecheap.com. Namecheap.com don't work 24 hours. They work Monday to Friday post office hours, and they're based in Phoenix, Arizona. And in Phoenix, Arizona, now it's just past midnight. So we've still got to wait a few hours before we can shut them down. But Namecheap.com are very good. We've dealt with them before. Normally, when I send them an email, within 10 or 15 minutes, that website's gone. It's vanished.
Paul, a couple of things here, just for those who haven't seen or don't know really what they're looking for. It was an interview that our Chris Stain did with Helen Ziller. So as you can see this Biz News in the background, Chris has that as well. And it looks completely legitimate, but they've used AI to change the conversation from the which was about Helen's standing for mayor of Johannesburg to now something where Helen is punting a financial product. How do they do that?
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there are apps on the websites You'll often see it on Instagram or other social media where it offers you the opportunity to sing like Michael Jackson, or, and they take your voice and they tell you, you just got to speak for a while into this device and, well, into your phone. And within a few minutes, you're going to be singing like Michael Jackson. Meanwhile, it's your voice. Now, there are apps and websites available where they will use your voice. So what you can do, you talk for a while, and it's gradually evolved. I mean, if you've got a smart car now, the smart car will take your instructions to do this and phone that person and phone that person. But quite often it makes mistakes and you end up phoning the wrong person. Now, the AI voice generators are now getting so smart, they can listen to your voice talking. And then after maybe 5 or 10 minutes, they have heard enough of your vocabulary to be able to replicate your voice exactly. And then what they're doing now with CGI is they're taking the lips, the syncing of your lips, and they sync your lips to the voice. And what they do, that after they've learnt your voice, they literally sit there and type what it is they want you to say, and you will say what's been typed, and then they get CGI to lip sync. So it really does look as if you're saying those things. And now you're talking about Biz News and Helen Ziller. There have been previous ones of Elon Musk and what's his name? Donald Trump. And Johan Rupert, they've all been at it. Mm. So they've all been had. Now, when you get Donald Trump and Elon Musk giving you a great explanation about how you're going to get rich, and this is keep it to yourself, by the way, this is really good. You know, you put in 4,500 rand or whatever the figure may be, and within a week you're going to double your money. Now, somebody will think, wow, 4,500 grand, double, wow, I'm going to do that. And then they lose 4,500 rand. Now, there will probably be thousands of people that would just lose 4,500 rand. But there'll be hundreds of people that will put in several hundred thousand rand. And it doesn't, if you've got 1,000 people that lose 4,500 rand, that's 4.5 million. And if you've got 100 people that put in 100,000 rand, that's 10 million. So these guys make a lot of money very quickly. And then they vanish. The website gets shut down because they're criminals, they're scamming, and they just move on. They replicate the whole thing and they do it again. And what they do is, as in this case, it was a Friday hit. They set this thing up probably in the early hours of Friday morning, or probably Saturday night with a go live on Friday morning. Thursday night with a go live on Friday morning. By the time Monday morning comes, they probably had a few million rand. And then you get phone calls. Probably Adrian Basson from News 24 is going to get phone calls saying, hey, I clicked on your website and this is what happened to me. By the way, if you go on most news sites, and I would say most news sites allow, if you scroll down, I don't know if yours does. I don't think it does. But if you scroll down, there's a whole lot of strange clickbait stories which are on Google, you know. And these stories are weird and wonderful stories. And in on those clickbait stories are scams as well. So people look at that and they think, oh, that's great. I'm on the News 24 website, I click on that, or I'm on the IOL website or the Sunday Times website, I click on that. Now, these news websites generate income from people clicking on those stories. And they're not proper stories. They're not news stories at all. They're paid promotions. And what happens is you get a whole long story and you have to keep clicking next, 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 next. And what they're doing is they're generating clicks, and those clicks results in income. Now, my advice, if you go to some of the, shall we say, the renowned media sites around the globe, for example, the Times in London, they don't go into that Google rubbish below there. They think we'll forego that additional income rather than have all those rubbish stories at the bottom. But so many media sites do have it. I was looking for a story yesterday on the Sydney Herald, and sure as low down, you scroll down at the end of the story, there's all the Google stories, the paid for promotions, and there's scams there. So people can fall for these things very, very quickly. And my advice is don't think that you can put $4,500 in somewhere and double your money the same day or the next week or whatever the case may be. You're better off leaving your money in the building society or the bank. And, you know, especially if you're a pensioner, please, if you're a pensioner, do not, whatever you do, invest in something, even if it looks like a person that you believe is honest and straight up is saying, do it, don't do it, until you've at least satisfied yourself that it's not an AI, what we call a deep fake scam, where they've put some effort into this. They haven't set up the website on a Friday morning and produced all this on a Friday afternoon. They had this thing ready to rock and roll before they set up the website, and they slide it straight in and then promote it. And I can tell you now, by 8 o'clock in the morning, Phoenix time in the US, that website will be shut down, because I'm going to be onto them to shut it down. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like trying to go around with the house with a can trying to get the mosquitoes. You know, it's a constant task.
But surely, Paul, Google has to take responsibility. I did send an email as soon as we got the email from our community member. And you're right, we don't carry those clickbait ads on BizNews. They were primarily from an organized, well, anyway, we won't say where they're from, but we don't carry them. And I sent an email to the head of Google in South Africa and the head of YouTube in South Africa, and I'm still waiting for a response. So the problem is, these scamsters work on the basis that Google is going to be people too, and they're also on off for the weekend. And as a consequence, they've got the whole weekend to scam people who believe they are listening to Helen Ziller and Chris Dane having a conversation about some great investment opportunity. But I want to ask you about something else that we've been doing a lot of work, or had done quite a lot of work on, and so is my old company, MoneyWeb, and that is on a business called Bankso. And finally, Bankso has now been banned in South Africa. But I'll have you know that there was a very reputable person who emailed me when we started exposing Bankso to say, no, these guys are above board. I know this chap and that chap who's on the board, etc. And last week, this morning, I got an email from somebody who said last week they were sent an email to say allegedly from myself, saying that Bankso has all your information and click here so that we can sort it out, or something like that. This has just got beyond it's deep fake, but also deep crime.
Well, it's crime, but I mean, you also get this, what we call phishing or spear phishing, where they targeting people to get their information. I mean, your classic, you see it all the time. You get an SMS from Standard Bank telling you that they're going to freeze your account unless you log on immediately and verify your bank details. Now, I get this from all the banks, and I don't bank with most of the banks that these SMSs purportedly come from. So What they like to do is get your information. Also, people buy things online that are cheap. And they think, oh, that's a nice bargain, I'll buy that. And when you say click pay here, you must always check the top left-hand side of your URL, and there must be a little lock symbol there. And if there isn't a lock symbol there, you're now paying an entity that is actually phishing for your credit card information. And you're going to get, well, you're not going to get the goods that you think you're buying. A lot of people do this on their phone. They see offers on their phone. They think, wow, that's dynamite. I'm going to buy one of those. And they click buy, and they're done. And by the way, most phones today, they self-populate the data. So all you have to do is put in the last three digits. The rest of it is there. You put in the last three digits, the security number, and hey, presto, you get a message back saying, thank you for your order. It'll be with you the day after tomorrow. Meanwhile, you're getting nothing, but you've given somebody your credit card details. So my advice is be ultra, ultra cautious. And most phones, you cannot see if you're providing your information in a secure manner. So if I see something nice on the phone that I decide I want to buy, or I'm looking for something to buy and I find it on my phone, then what I do is I take a screenshot of the URL and send it to my laptop. And then I look from my laptop to make sure I'm looking at something genuine. And if possible, I'll phone them to make sure this is the real deal, because there's so many people getting scammed today. You have to be ultra, ultra cautious. And I think I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that the ACFE, that's the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, they reckon that within the next year or two, cybercrime will be more than 50% of all crime on the planet. So we really have to wake up.
Yeah. That's a good old Joburg thunderbolt, just to emphasize what you had to say there. Paul, the other issue that I'd like you to give some insight into, when I did get hold of the head of the cyber unit at one of the big banks, he explained to me that there's an organization, that criminal syndicates are massive. And he told me about one organization in Myanmar where there are 200,000 people in one complex, including many South Africans, and that they are defrauding people all over the world. What do we do as BizNews? What should a publisher, a responsible publisher, do to protect our community, our tribe, against this kind of thing?
It's hard because you're dealing with other jurisdictions. Now, the South African criminal justice system is compromised, unfortunately, and they're very backward. I think I made the comment on an interview a while ago that if everybody stopped committing white-collar crime today, it would take 17 years just to investigate the backlog, which means the criminal justice system is climbing a very, very steep hill. And they're never really going to get on top of this, which means it's up to the banks, it's up to individuals to work together to crack this. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, the banking system in South Africa is quite good compared to some, in the US, they still issue checks. Now, I think the last time I had a check was probably 15 years ago. I had to open a bank account. I had to open a bank account in Chicago with a friend of mine last year. When you open the bank account, they give you a checkbook right there and then. Now, it's so lax, and you can walk into a shop and buy stuff with that check, and they don't. It's only a week later they'll find out, oh, shush, there was no money in the account. Now, my daughter had to receive a payment of about £250,000 last week. and it was settlement. And the attorney that was handling the thing, I was handling it with my daughter, and the attorney said, we'll send you a check. I said, no, my daughter doesn't want a check. She wants an EFT. You do it, electronic funds transfer. We don't want you sending a check. She's, oh, but my EFTs are limited to £10,000 a day. I said, well, then what you have to do is make a special arrangement. And I had to train this attorney how to do a special arrangement to make the payment of £250,000. And she managed to get it right. And she thanked me afterwards saying, wow, I didn't know it was that easy. I said, well, it is easy. And what we've done, we've proven the bank details. We've sent it to you by WhatsApp and we've sent it to you by email. So you can just look at the two and you see that they're both the same. Now, we've got a lot of this crime taking place, which is interception of emails, where somebody fishes, they get your passwords and stuff, they get onto your email, and it happens a lot with conveyancing attorneys, where they fish at the conveyancing firms. They know who's doing the conveyancing. They fish at the conveyancing firms. They get onto your email. They find out which properties are being sold. And when the transfer goes through, they trick you into, because they then fish the person whose property you're selling. And then they'll come in with an email with proof of bank details, and you'll pay. You, as the transferring attorney, will pay that bank. And the seller of the property is waiting for his payment. And he phones and says, listen, you were supposed to pay me last week. Where's the money? And the attorney says, no, I paid you last week. Well, I haven't got anything. Well, you sent me the proof. You sent me the proof of bank details. I paid there. He said, let me see what you've paid. And when he has a look, he says, no, man, I never sent you that. And you, this 10 million rand gone. Bang. Now, that is a problem with the banks, because the banks allow what I best describe as a gardener or a domestic servant to come and open a new bank account. And then a week after opening that new bank account, 8 million rand goes into it. And the very next day, the 8 million rand shattered all over the place, different bank accounts everywhere, transferred out, gone, gone, gone. And now when you come back to try and get that money, it's already gone. And these syndicates that are operating, they have hundreds of people that will go with their ATM card and draw the cash from the ATM and hand it in, and they're allowed to keep 10% or sometimes 20%. So it's they call them money mules. Now, this level of crime is going on in South Africa. It's horrendous, by the way. People are selling properties and never seeing the money. And then they end up having to sue the attorney, the transferring attorney. And the transferring attorneys now have taken to putting little stories at the bottom of their signatures on their emails, saying that they won't be held liable for this and that and what. But if the attorneys are negligent, unfortunately, they are held liable. And most of them have insurance, and it's coming as the insurance companies that are picking up the costs. So we have got these numerous problems. And that, by the way, is another category of cybercrime, where they intercept emails. So it's going on all the time. And all I can say to people is be ultra cautious. And sometimes we even get, you know what, you go somewhere and they want to take a copy of your ID book. And I say, no, I'm not allowing you to take a copy of my ID book. No, but that's our rules. I said, I don't care what your rules are. You're not getting a copy of my ID book. Now, the likelihood of somebody copying or stealing my identity is probably very slim, because somebody will know if it's me that's knocking on the door or borrowing money. Because what they do is they steal your identity, and then they create a fake you, and then they go and they buy a motor car, and they finance the motor car with fake letters of employment and fake pay slips, and the bank finances the car, and then the car vanishes up over the border and it's gone. And the next thing, you've had your ID stolen, so the bank comes after you. And they say, hey, we want our car. You haven't been paying. You say, what bloody car? I didn't buy any car. I don't know what you're talking about. or they take out bank loans and the cash goes. Now, that is so prevalent in South Africa. What is the enabling factor? There are too many organizations around insist on copying your ID. So I don't give anybody a copy of my ID. Where it's necessary in terms of FICA, I endorse the ID and I endorse it in a place where they can't tip-ex it out without it being obvious it's been tip-exed out. I endorse that copy of the ID as to who I've given it to and what date. And I recommend that to everybody out there. If somebody wants a copy of your ID, endorse it. But don't endorse it underneath the copy of the ID. Endorse it through the middle of it, saying who you've given it to and the date you've given it to them on. It makes it almost impossible for them to steal your ID. And unfortunately, some of the organizations that insist on having a copy of your ID are actually facilitating this type of fraud.
It's a very interesting point. As you're talking, I was thinking just about every time you go to a hotel, they insist on a copy of your ID. And, I guess you feel that is part of the rules. But in future, I'm going to do things very differently. Paul O'Sullivan, thank you for this user's guide to preventing getting scammed. And to all members of the BizNews community, please take heed. These cyber criminals, as Paul said at the beginning, they are all over the place. And in fact, you got more chance now of being cyber mugged than mugged in a physical sense. And that in a country like South Africa, wow. So let's keep ourselves safe and hope that we can achieve be one country in the world at least where we chase these miscreants away. Paul O'Sullivan is a certified fraud examiner and the head of Forensics for Justice. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.